I invite you to take God's word and turn to Psalm chapter 139. That's where we'll begin this morning. Last week we talked about and answered the first of what we're calling six of the most important must answer questions for the new year. And we answered this question, is the Bible trustworthy? And it's an important question to answer because if we're telling you to build your life on the Bible, that you can stake your life on the Bible, we need to know with a certain degree of certainty, if you will, that the knowledge, the Bible is trustworthy, credible, and it is the full and final authoritative word of God. And if you missed last week's message, I encourage you to go online and check it out. This week, the second must answer question we're addressing is the title of the message today, and that is, does prayer really change things? Now, fair warning, I've got a lot of information in this message today, okay? So I want you to lean in and get ready. And if you miss anything, and I'm going to cut on the run because I've got a lot here, I want to encourage you, as we do every week, we put these messages online. The manuscript that I preach from is on our media page where you can download it and look at it if you miss any of the verses. We're going to look at a lot today. I was writing this sermon, and truthfully, I'm sitting here as I'm writing this week thinking, man, this is a 6 to 8 week message series, okay? I'm gonna do it in 35 minutes. So let's get after it. And again, here's the question we're answering. Does prayer really change things? Now, I've gotta believe that all of us in here at one time or another have asked ourselves this question. We've wondered, maybe not out loud, maybe it's just been internally that we've asked this. We've probably all wrestled with, does prayer really change things? Perhaps you've said it like this. Why do I need to pray? God is going to do whatever he wants to do, whether I pray or not. My prayers are not going to change or affect the Almighty from working his plan. So why pray? Or maybe you said, you know what? God knows what I need before I even ask him. So why do I need to ask him in the first place? Or maybe you thought, you know what, you've got this need in your life, but you know what, God's way bigger than this thing that I've got going on, and so I'm not even going to bother him with it. Or maybe you're here today and you're discouraged when it comes to your prayer life. If you were honest, you prayed about something and God didn't come through. And so when we ask this question, does prayer really change things? I mean, immediately your thought is, well, it didn't change things for me. You prayed over one of your children that had a need. Nothing happened. Maybe you had a family member that was sick and you asked God to heal them. Or maybe there was a financial need in your life and you prayed and you asked God to deliver and come through, but he didn't answer the prayer. At least in the way that you were thinking, hoping, or expecting that he would. He seemed silent. And in your eyes, even uncaring. And so you got nothing out of the prayer, so you kind of given up on it. And then there's others. You don't know whether prayer changes things or not because you've never practiced it before. When we ask this question, does prayer really change things? You're thinking, I have no idea because you've never really tried it. Prayer seems odd to you. It seems weird, if you will. I mean, there's a mystery to it. And you get in to even start trying and you talk for about 90 seconds or so. And you think, what am I doing? This isn't working. Your mind wonders. You'd like to know the answer to this question. I mean, the idea, you'd love to be able to answer whether or not prayer really changes things, but the reality is you don't practice it. So, what do we do? How do we answer this question? Is there anyone out there that can identify with what I'm talking about? I mean, some of you are thinking, come on, prayer? I don't have time for that. I'm chasing my family around. I've got all of these activities I'm involved in. I got places to go, quiet time, alone time. What is that? And the busyness of life doesn't even allow us time to pray and see if prayer changes things. I think if any of these describe you, and I think a lot of us have had these thoughts, again, whether we admit it or not. I think today's message is going to help us. You know, prayer is one of those subjects that, like sharing your faith, we know we need to do it and we know we need to do more of it. But in terms of our spiritual lives, for some reason, it just doesn't click and we barely breach the surface of all that is out there for us. And so here's what I'm hoping today does. What I'm hoping is, as we answer this question, does prayer really change things? I think if we knew the answer, and I think if we could say beyond a shadow of a doubt with an unequivocal, yes, prayer does change things. And look, spoiler alert, prayer does change things. But you can't leave yet, all right? I think if we could answer this question with confidence, that it would revolutionize our prayer life and put to rest all of the reasons and excuses and questions that we have as it relates to prayer. At least this is my hypothesis. So let's talk about it. I want to start by leading us to consider first who we pray to. I want to discuss this for a moment. This is going to lay the groundwork, the framework for answering this question, does prayer really change things? Who are we talking about and who are we talking to when we pray? We are communicating with, we are communing with this eternal triune being we call God. Now, God has many attributes, and if you're looking for a great study to start off the year, I would encourage you. There's a lot of books out there, a lot of resources out there where you could study the attributes of God. I want to look at five attributes very briefly. We're going to fly through these, and these attributes of God, to me, are the most important as it relates to having a proper perspective of prayer, understanding prayer, and these specific attributes will help us the most as we think through this question we're looking at today. Does prayer really change things? Attribute number one, you can write this down, God is omniscient. That simply means God is all-knowing. There is nothing taking place in the world today, has taken place, ever will take place, that has taken God by surprise. He knows everything. Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Isaiah 46, verse 9, the second part in 10. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Look at this, declaring the end from the beginning. God exists outside of time. He knows it all. He sees it all from ancient times, things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. This leads to attribute number two, and that is that God is sovereign. This means that God will accomplish his purposes and there is nothing that can stand in his way. The fact that God is sovereign means he rules over the universe. You've heard me say it like this, man, me and you, we play checkers while God ultimately plays chess. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Some scripture says he does whatever he pleases. He's sovereign. Job 42, 2. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. What God wants done gets carried out, and there is nothing and no one that can stand in his way. This leads to a third attribute, and that's the fact that God is omnipotent. This means that God is all powerful. If you grew up in church, we used to sing a song, our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's what? Nothing our God cannot do. He is all powerful. Our God can move mountains. He can part rivers. He can send famines and storms, and he can cause storms to cease. He created everything that exists out of nothing. He is omnipotent, all powerful. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Attribute number four. God is immutable. This simply means that God is unchanging. In his character and in his nature, God never changes. Wayne Grudem, in his book Systematic Theology, he defines the immutability of God this way. He says, God is unchanging in his being, perfections, purposes, and promises. Yet God does act and feel emotions, and he acts and feels differently in response to different situations. This is the immutability of God. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you, verse 27, are the same, and your years have no end. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the first part says, for I, the Lord, do not change. James 1:17 says that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom, look at this, there is no variation or shadow due to change. God does not change. Now, I want you to put an asterisk right here, because if you're a student of the scriptures, you'll read from time to time, and it'll seem like God changes his mind. For example, places like Exodus chapter 32, where Moses is up on the mountain with God, and he's gone for a long time, 40 days, and the people go, what happened to Moses? And so what do? They throw their gold together, they fashion an idol, they begin worshiping it. God sees it, and he says, I'm gonna wipe these people out. Moses prays, don't do that. And the Bible says God relents. Same thing when the book of Jonah, he sends the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to preach judgment. Judgment's coming. But what happens is the king of Nineveh hears the pronouncement from Jonah, and he repents, and he declares a nationwide fast. And God sees their repentance, and the Bible says he relents. So is this God changing his mind, him relenting? The scripture is absolutely clear that he doesn't change. And watch this, it's absolutely explicitly clear that he doesn't change his mind either. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. So this idea of God relenting, what it is God operating in his sovereignty and omniscience, and what may appear in a moment of him changing his mind is actually him staying true to his character and nature as expressed in his word. Again, download the notes this week. You can read more about it if you look in depth at it. Fifth and final attribute we'll look at, and that is God is love. You see this, 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. God is love. You can't read scripture without this theme coming off the page, that God is love and he is full of love. Outside of his holiness, the love of God is the chief attribute of God. So I want you to put all of this together. This is who we are praying to. Does prayer really change things? Consider who we are praying to. God is omniscient and all-knowing. He is sovereign in total control, governing the affairs and the outcomes of the world. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He can do anything. He is unchanging. He's not going to act outside of his character and nature. And he is love. We never have to question his motives or his actions on our behalf. Our God is so different than all of the other gods out there. He is a God of love. This is who we're praying to. You're going to see why this is important here in just a moment. Now, let's consider what prayer is. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, we know prayer in its most basic form is communication with God. It's a relationship with the Lord in its most simple form. But have you ever really thought about what prayer is? I want to give you three statements that will help as you consider the purposes of prayer. What is prayer really all about? Statement number one, prayer is the means to growing in intimacy with God. Now, fundamentally, this is what prayer is all about. It's the way that we commune with God. The goal of the Christian life, listen to me, the goal of the Christian life is intimacy with the Almighty. And prayer paves the way to intimacy, period. You can be a Christian and have a minimal prayer life. Okay, it's possible. But it is impossible to have a minimal prayer life and be a Christian that is growing and productive. And certainly, you won't be what is considered an intimate of the Lord. Prayer paves the way to intimacy. And intimacy is the entire point and purpose of prayer. I was reading a story this week of Brennan Manning, who served in the city of New Orleans, and he would minister and meet different needs. He was called in by a lady that he knew whose father was dying. And she wanted him to visit with him. And he tells this story of walking into this man's room, and he was laying on his bed, and there was a chair pulled up right next to the bed, an empty chair. And Brennan Manning says to the man, "Well, I see that you were expecting me." And the man really didn't know what he was talking about until he kind of referred to the empty chair. He said, "Let me tell you about this empty chair." He said, "Years ago, I wanted to learn how to pray. And I was given a book on prayer, and I got two or three pages in, and it was so complicated. I just threw my hands up because I just didn't know what to do. It just seemed way too much." And so someone that I respect talked to me one time and said, "Listen, prayer is intimacy with the Lord. What I want you to do is next time you go to pray, wherever you're at, I want you to pull an empty chair up next to you. And I just want you to envision God being in that chair. You envision Jesus sitting right there and you just having a conversation with Jesus." And he said, "I've been doing this for years." And he knew he was dying. And so he asked Brennan, who was a minister, he said, is this wrong of me? Is this bad?" And Brennan Manning said, "Not at all. You keep doing what you're doing." He left, and it wasn't a week or two later that he got word that this man died. And so he called this man's daughter just to check on her, and he asked, did he seem to go peacefully? And she said, "You know what? The strangest thing happened." She said, "I went into his room before I was going to run some errands, and I was talking to him, and he was making jokes, and he seemed really high, good spirits, and I left." And she said, "When I came home, he was dead. And what was so interesting is he had gotten out of bed and he had laid his head in that empty chair that he kept next to his bed." That's a picture of prayer. And it's a picture of intimacy with God. That's one of the main purposes of prayer. It is a means to growing in intimacy with God. Secondly, prayer is the means to accomplishing the work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, the first part says, "For we are God's fellow workers." 2 Corinthians 6, 1 says, "We are working together with him." You read the subject on the subject of prayer, it won't be long before you come across the name T.W. Hunt. Wrote a lot about prayer as a professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, my alma mater, as well as Ouachita, the Harvard of the South. Doesn't matter, but that's where he graduated from. He explains that for Christians, he calls prayer, I love this, he calls prayer a regal responsibility. He says, you know, quoting Romans 8, 17, he says, "We are joint heirs with Christ. And scripture teaches that we will one day rule and reign with him." And so what he suggests is that prayer is the training ground that prepares us to rule and reign with Christ in all of eternity. Listen to what he writes. He says, "Most important of all work is spiritual work. Spiritual work can only be accomplished with spiritual methods. And the only mover in any spiritual project must be God himself." How do we cooperate with God in this work? Now, what is this work? It's bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's what we do. Remember our kingdom project from last week? This is why we exist. We are salt and light. We are meant to bring God's will and God's work and accomplish it here on earth. He says, how do we cooperate with God in his work? The answer is obviously prayer. God could move without our cooperation, but our cooperation is the method he uses to demonstrate his sovereignty. All power derives from God. He is the most powerful agent in the universe. Prayer provides a way for us to cooperate with the all-powerful God. This is why when you see in scripture, you see a constant call, an invitation to pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I'll show you great and mighty things." We see this command to pray at all times. Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. When you read the scripture, I can give you└></================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================└└└└└└└└└└└└└└└².================================================================================================└└================================================================================================ name after name after name of people who led as examples of prayer, where God answered their prayer. Prayer is the primary way the work of God is accomplished, and thus the kingdom of God is advanced. Spurgeon said, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. He said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. When we pray, we are activating the resources of heaven so that God's kingdom, his will, would be done on earth. John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, which is a great book, one of the primary textbooks on missions, and any missionary who's out on the field will tell you any great missionary movement is preceded first by a movement of prayer. Any movement that is a move of God is preceded first by a move of prayer. Listen to what he writes about prayer. He says, prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. He said, it is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of God advances in this world. Now, we are to pray and ask God what's on our heart, okay? There is nothing petty to the Lord. I'm gonna talk about that here in just a moment. But the primary means of prayer is for us to grow in intimacy with God and for us to accomplish his will and ensure that his desires are carried out on earth. The third purpose of prayer is this. Prayer is the means by which we express faith, trust, and dependence upon God. I tell our staff all the time, I don't know how to show God that we are dependent upon him, trusting him, believing in him, outside of calling upon him in prayer. It's why we meet as a staff team every Sunday at 7:30. We could get up here and listen, we're talented. We got it together as a church. We could put on a great service for you. But if we don't do it clothed in the power of the Spirit of God, what good is it? And so we've got to pray and seek the Lord and call on God to do what only God can do in these moments together. And so we meet on Sundays at 7:30 and we pray. And it's showing God our dependence and our trust in him, our first Saturday prayer time. This is why we meet as a church in our chapel right over here on Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month at 8 o'clock. It's a tithe to the Lord. It's a demonstration of God. Say, God, as a church, we are dependent upon you and we welcome you in. This Wednesday night, we're gonna have a prayer night at 6:45. We do this twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. And I'm gonna show you, if you've never been to a Saturday prayer time, come on Wednesday night at 6:45 down in our Family Life Center, and we're gonna have a prayer service. And it's going to be a model of what we do on Saturdays, because I'm gonna show you what that's like. Jim Simbla from Brooklyn Tab, where Darrell came from, he'll tell you, he gauges the success of his church not on how many people show up on Sunday morning, but on how many people show up on the Tuesday prayer meeting. It's a good gauge because prayer demonstrates, God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm leaning on you. I'm dependent upon you, and I need faith in you. Notice in all of this, what the purpose of prayer, notice this. What the purpose of prayer is not. It's not for our wish list to be granted. The purpose of prayer is not to have access to some cosmic Santa Claus that makes all of our dreams come true. The purpose of prayer is not that God's some genie in a bottle, and if we'll just rub that lamp, that gives us access to all that we've ever wanted. I believe we are short-circuiting in prayer, maybe even becoming frustrated in prayer, because we're missing the true purpose behind prayer. And the proposition I'm making you to you today is to consider who you are praying to, consider what prayer really is, and I believe that when we do this, your perspective on what needs to change changes. So let's go in deep on this. Does prayer really change things? Absolutely. The answer is yes. But most of all, it changes the one praying. It is powerful. It is effective. It does work. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. He gives an example. Elijah was a man just like us. He wasn't Superman. He was a man with a nature just like us. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. Prayer works. It's powerful and it's effective. As E.M. Bounds writes, God shapes the world by prayer. It changes things. However, for prayer to change things, there are several requirements that must be met. Requirement number one is we must make an ask. All answered prayer begins with an ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And these are in present imperatives. I mean, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking. He says, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. I heard a statement years ago, and when I heard it, I'm telling you, it did something to me. I walked around for weeks with this statement in my mind. Here's the statement. There are some things that God will do whether we ever pray and ask him to or not. You follow me? There are some things that God is going to do whether we ever pray and ask him to or not. But there are some things that God will never do if we don't pray and ask him to. You say, Pastor, what are those things? I have no idea. Which is why we need to ask. Now, the scripture says, ask. That means whatever's on your heart, you can ask God. Whatever you want him to do, you can ask him. There's nothing too big or too small. I mean, think about it. What is too big for God? The biggest thing you got on your prayer list is minute when you measure it up against God. But you got to ask. James said in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have. Because you do not what? Ask. And then he says this, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So this is requirement number two. If we want prayer to change things, something's required. We've got to ask, but secondly, we must pray in accordance with God's will. That's what James said here. You're not getting what you ask for because you're asking with wrong motives or you're asking for wrong reasons. He says, this kind of prayer that you're asking, I mean, think about it. You're coming before the sovereign, omniscient, omnipotent God. And you're asking him to bend to your will instead of entering into your prayer closet and you bending your will to this great and mighty, awesome God. He says, when your motives are off or your reasons are wrong, you're not going to get what you asked for. Instead, we got to trust God. You're sovereign. You're in control. You see things that I don't. You are a God of love. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You ask anything in my name, anything according to my will. Let me tell you what this is not. Yesterday I was getting a haircut, all right, because I wanted to look good for you today. So I was getting a haircut and I knew I was preaching this message. And I'm getting my haircut and I'm thinking about the message while I'm getting my haircut. And I'm telling you, God brought a memory back from my sophomore year of high school. I was a sophomore in high school playing football. My dad was my hero. He played college football. I had a picture of him in his, you know, uniform when he was there. And I kept it on my desk, man. I just loved it. And he had a flat top when he played. And so I thought, man, if I'm going to really play football, I got to have a flat top. And by the way, we got Luke McGrary with us who just signed with the Houston Cougars. He's the new tight end, all right? And so he's here this morning. Welcome, Luke. We're glad you're here. And so you got to get a flat top. And so I go into the haircut place and I said, you know, I'm a sophomore. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, the haircut costs $4. I said, take it off. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, flat top. They didn't clarify. So they start cutting, and I'm starting to get real hot and sweaty under that little deal. And when they spin me around to look into that mirror, I kid you not, I have no hair. I mean, it is nothing. And now you got to think, I'm a sophomore, all right? I mean, I'm a little bit better than a freshman, but the sophomores were on the varsity team. So I'm low on the pecking order. I knew I was going to get made fun of. You know, then I'm trying to impress the girls. And trust me, if you saw this haircut, it ain't impressing the girls. And so I remember, I grew up in the church. I'd heard this. If you ask anything in my name, you ask and I will do it. And I kid you not, as sure as I'm standing here, I went into my bathroom, I closed my eyes and I said, God, you said if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. In the name of Jesus, grow this hair back right now. Now, needless to say, it didn't grow back in time. That's not what praying in the name of Jesus is. To ask something in Jesus' name is to ask something where he is most glorified. Not your specific request being answered. Sometimes the answer to your specific request will be what glorifies him the most, and sometimes it won't. We have to trust him with this. And sometimes, many times, we're not going to understand, even if God came out of heaven and explained why he didn't answer the prayer the way that we wanted answered, even his answer wouldn't be good for us. Truth be known, we see through a mirror dimly. One day we're going to be on the other side. I've heard it put like this. The most common refrain in heaven is going to be the words, aha, I get that. I see that now. This is why the first part of this message is so very important. Could God change your circumstances? Could he change your situation? Absolutely. He has the power to do it. But as you grow to know him via prayer, what you begin to do is you begin to grow in your trust of him and his sovereignty. This is why Jesus could pray, Father, if this cup could pass, the wrath of God being poured out on me, if it could pass, let it pass, but not my will, but yours be done. It's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 3 times, God, please remove this thorn in my flesh. But what did he hear back each time from the Lord? My grace is sufficient for you. God's ways are not our ways, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Remember, he's all-knowing. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows better than we do, and so we pray for his will to be done, and when we don't know what his will is, we trust him and entrust ourselves to him. R.A. Torrey was a great evangelist in the early 1900s. He says, nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. So Texas being national champions was outside of the will of God, all right? You can just pillow your head. Texans winning yesterday in the will of God. Pillow your head, good tonight. Thirdly, for prayer to change things, we're gonna move fast. We must be right in our relationships. By this, I mean there's gotta be good vertically and horizontally. Some of you have been praying, God, change my spouse. Change him, God. Don't amen. Somebody amen in the 8 o'clock. I thought, poor soul, what is he thinking? Don't amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life. Look at this, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You may be asking God to change your spouse, but you're living in sin. And your prayers, you feel like they're not going past the roof, it's because they're not. You gotta get right with the Lord. Psalm 66, 18, if I cherished iniquity in my heart, if I'd have held on to sin, the Lord would not have listened. So if we're living in sin, we're wallowing around in bitterness and hatred and jealousy, it's hard to pray. Jesus said, if you're offering a gift at the altar and you have something against someone or somebody has something against you, you leave that gift there, you go make it right, and then you come back and offer your gift. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 says that if we're living in open rebellion against God, even our prayers are considered an abomination. So we've got to make sure things are right between us and the Lord. That means keeping a short record of sins, living in confession, abiding in Christ. John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Because what you'll be asking if you're abiding in him is his word. You'll be asking his will. It'll be in line with what he wants. You're rightly related to him because you're abiding in him. And he says, it will be done for you. Fourthly, in order for prayer to change things, we must pray in faith. Mark 11:24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you've received it and it'll be yours. James 1:6-8, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts, it's like a wave of a sea that is driven and tossed by the wind, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Listen, when it comes to prayer, what did we say? Prayer is a means of expressing faith and dependence upon the Lord. When you enter into your prayer closet, you are exhibiting faith. And it's not about the size of your faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to that mountain, be thrown into the heart of the sea. What is he teaching? It's not about the size of your faith, which is sometimes here on the TV from TV preachers, just have a lot of faith speaking. It ain't about the size of your faith. You can have mustard seed faith. What it's about the size of is the size of our God. So we can have a small amount of faith in our big old God, and we can move mountains. And when there's something in your life, when there's a hurdle, when you're up against something, when you want to have faith to believe, just enter into your prayer closet, and just by going in, you are exhibiting faith. Be like that father of that boy who was having convulsions. And he said, Jesus, if it's possible, heal him. And Jesus said, possible. With God, all things are possible. And he said, help my unbelief. So if you feel like you don't have faith, that's a prayer of faith. Jesus, help my unbelief. Finally, in order for prayer to change things, requirement number 5, we must persist in prayer. God's economy, it's just different. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, he teaches us to give 10% and live off the 90, and he promises that he'll make it work out. I don't know how he makes it work out. He promises that we reap what we sow. Right? If we make a decision over here, if we sow it over here, we're going to reap it over here. God's law doesn't make sense sometimes. And in his laws of prayer, he tells us to persist. Keep going. Gives 2 parables on it. Luke 11, Luke 18:1, he told them a parable to the effect they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. You could be one prayer away from God answering. I don't know why. I think he's developing, there's a muscle in waiting. We get stuff in the waiting times of life, God does, that he never does anywhere else. And I just think that waiting, he's making our faith stronger, so we gotta press in and we gotta persist. This past week, I wanna give you a real life example of the whole message that I've been talking about. Friday, I went to the funeral of a young lady named Halsey Wethington. You see her picture on the screen. Halsey was 33 years old. Untimely death, went to be with the Lord. Here's a picture of her family. John Wethington has become a great friend of mine. I asked him for permission this morning to share his story. He said, we're an open book. 3 years ago, Halsey was diagnosed with a glioblastoma tumor. For the last 3 years, she's been in and out of the hospital and just been going down, 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 down. In December, one of the ways, Champion Forest, you bless this family. You don't even know this, but one of the last things they ever did as a family was to come to Christmas Spectacular. And they wanted to celebrate it as a family. It was one of the few times she got out of the house in December. She couldn't talk. She came in a wheelchair. We set her right back here, the kids, so they could be right where the camels come through. And they had a great Christmas. And in late December, she breathed her last and went to be with the Lord. And again, John has become a great friend. He's a pastor of New Day Church here in Houston, a multi-site campus and a multi-site church, and just wonderful. They did a podcast about 3 months ago just telling her story because they knew that the cancer had come back, it was recurrent, and there was nothing else left to do. This video is 3 minutes long, and I want you to watch it because it tells the perfect story encapsulating everything that we've talked about today. Watch the screen.
Now we're in recurrence world. Like, it's coming back. It's, and so I know for you, that's been how are you processing that spiritually?
So kind of like you said, the first time it was all so crazy and weird and whatever. But I think the first time I've had like moments of like, what is going on? I'm not trying to say that, but it's been very much more just peace in it. Like, God's closeness is got just so deep again quickly for me. Maybe the only, if there's anything negative 6 months ago, is I wasn't maybe as close. And now I can come to him and talk to him. And yes, when I first found out, I'm like, God, please. please, what are you doing? Please, God, please. And I'm a crier, so I would just cry to the Lord and weep to the Lord and listen to the Lord. And so in all of it, he has just been like, he keeps telling me, trust me, do not be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you, with you, with you, with you. Don't need to be afraid. So for me, spiritually, it's again, he's just like in the beginning of the last time, it's just been like, oh, but God is holding me so close. And again, that's just his kindness that he gives to me.
So, but you were talking about how I thought I was healed, but now this is here. How are you processing that?
Well, I don't know.
It's okay.
I don't know. I do believe that he did heal me and I can be healed. It is zero, like nothing is hard for him at all. And I really do trust that. Like, he can do it. It could never happen again. And I could be 90. Who knows? So God, it's not, he's really encouraged that and strengthened that in my spirit and in my faith is like, I know he can. It's not a problem for me. If he doesn't, and I get to go home earlier. He has also given me a lot of peace in that. I'm really like, this is like a new, and this, the last week, whatever, of him just being like, yeah, it is okay, regardless. Before I felt more, he's going to heal me and I'm fine. And now I totally think he totally can, and I want him to, and I keep asking him to, because I love you and I love my kids and I love the church. No place I would rather be, and I love it all, but he's kind of given me a new, like, I got you. You're with me. You don't need to be afraid. Don't be afraid that Isaiah 41:10, like, you're not, because I'm with you. I'm with you. And he keeps telling me that and keeps encouraging that to me. So I feel like I have a lot more peace regardless. Still asking, like, God, you totally can. Please heal me. I'm not. I really want you to, please, because I love my kids. But if I don't, it's cool too, because like, if we knew everything that God knows, we would want exactly what he's done. And that has become deep. I guess it's been deeper to me in my heart. Now it's even deeper than it used to be.
How's he explained in 3 minutes what I just did in the last 35 or 40? God, here's my heart. Change, heal. Coming to you, Lord, please. Believing in his sovereignty, trusting in his love. And we ask this question, does prayer really change things? The answer is absolutely. You know what it changes the most? Me. It's you.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.